Okay, mobile.
Looks like straight up Newton. Send your OTR.
N4ZLK. Good afternoon, Tom. It's just passed. You're probably having your midday snack, aren't you?
No. I'm just sitting downstairs here and trying to get this little book of the world thing to print. But I just don't seem to have enough smarts to get it. It's a compilation of my contacts, and I just don't know how to print it. I've tried, but Ariel's coming over in a little while, so maybe he can do it for me.
I've messed around on that site. I use it. It keeps track of. I put it in my logbook and upload it. It goes to the logbook of the world. And then also QRZ, but it's not a very user-friendly site, I don't think anyway, but it's just me. I'm not on the computer all day long.
I just don't understand it all, but, well, it's showing something here that might print, but it don't look like what I used to do. That's the thing of it. It looks like a bunch of gobbledygook. So, I don't think I'll print that. Anyways, Ariel's gonna come over and help me with my I don't know how. I don't understand it's for security purposes, but they make it complicated.
I was able to do the first one I got. Just took me reading and rereading the directions and making sure I followed step by step very closely. But I could not tell you how to do it again. The next time I need to do it, I'll have to. I guess they expire after so many years. I'll have to look at the directions all over again.
For 3 years, unfortunately. But. I guess we gotta live with it. I didn't even know it was gonna expire. Just all at once, it doesn't work, and that's why.
It'll be either 2 or 3 years old this March or so. I guess I better look and check to see when the expiration is on it.
Stopped working the other day, and it took me a while to figure out why in the world it stopped working, because I hadn't done anything. What it does is it doesn't allow you to send your contacts up. And I got a couple of pages of them here. But out of the kindness of Ariel, he's going to drop by. And he don't live too far north of me. But at any rate, it's a good day out there. I haven't gone out and got eggs yet. I think Patrick's going to stop by this evening also. And I went out and blowed the leaves off the driveway. I used the pressure washer on it the other day. Those leaves, the oak leaves, when they come down on it, they'll stain it if you don't blow them off. And that's another pain in the rear.
Oak has a lot of tannin in it. I think the red oaks are more tannin than the white oaks. But, yeah, I know what you mean. Concrete, those leaves will leave a permanent mark on there if you don't blow them off.
Out of there. Moved the car upstairs and just got down here a few minutes ago. Bernice is baking. She's making a coconut cream pie for my neighbor. And, boy, he needs it. I'm telling you, the other day he had a test and it showed that he had 6 blockages in his heart.
Well, maybe that coconut cream pie will kick him right out. Kick those blockages out of there.
About that, but he said that the heart doctor told him I immediately quit smoking, and I've been on him for that for years, and he always told me you could quit anytime you want. Well, this was a wake-up call. So anyways, he said, but the doctor told him he could still vape. I don't like using need my heart lungs for a catalytic converter. How about you?
There's enough stuff in the air that they're trying to filter out without trying to filter out extra.
What you're doing when you're smoking, and I'll grant you that that gets rid of a lot of the toxic materials, but even so, why would you put more in there? I mean, that's a wake-up call. God, I hope he's all right. He's a wonderful, wonderful neighbor, and he's got to go have a nuclear test tomorrow. I guess they'll decide from that what they got to do. I hope it is an open-heart surgery that they can stand him, but I don't know. His brother died the other day suddenly at 53. Ironically, I had told him, his brother, he was out working in the ditch out front over Tim's house. And I said, you're getting too old for that. He was out there in the heat. I said, you need to slow down. And he died the next week. So you better listen to old Tom when I tell you something. that's sad. God, 53 years old. And he was a nice guy. I didn't know him too long, but they have an asphalt business.
That's pretty sad to hear that, but maybe there's something hereditary, too. Sometimes there'll be people that will smoke all their life and never affect them, and then other people never smoke and have similar issues that smoking can cause. So, but I hate to hear that. That's young. 53 is pretty young.
Well, I tell you, some people, yeah, I've known people like that to get by with it. But when I was in the Naval Hospital and they did lung surgery on me, I got to see some pictures of what a smoker's lung looks like in comparison to a normal lung. And it would scare you to death, Shane.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen some pictures, too. I've got a brother that has tried everything in the world just to quit, and he just can't seem to do it. He's 60 now, but anyway, he's tried. Did your neighbor, when his brother passed away, is that when he went and got checked out?
I told him, I said, for a $95 calcium test that insurance don't pay for, that the doctor can send you for, I said, they can tell whether or not you need to go to the cardiovascular guy. And he was out in the yard telling me about this, and he said, no, it's 112 now, Tom. So he finally had that calcium test done. And he said, I was like in the 98th percentile of bad. Well, when I had Bernice go, that's where she was at, up in the 90s. And then they go from there and start doing more sophisticated tests.
I wonder what it is that they can tell by that. Is it the calcium in your blood or lack of calcium in your blood or what?
Boy, Shane, I don't know. What keyed me was, I know her mom passed away suddenly and had several TIAs, I think they call them, mini strokes, and so her sister had those too. But my sister died at one of them died at 55 from smoking, and the doctor told her, you know, she had diabetes, and the doctor, after she passed away, he could discuss it, but not before then. And he said, Tom, he says, she got real nasty with me. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I told her that if you smoked and you had diabetes, it was exponentially worse, and that you have to quit, or you're going to die in the next year. And she said, don't ever bring that up again. That's not up for arbitration. And he was my doctor also. And she died in a few months. And when Bernice and I, we used to go to those screening things, and Lifeline screening, Zero TR, and they have those around the area. And they'll have them at a church or a municipal hall or something. And one of the echoes come back, not quite up to Hoyle. And I said, well, we're going to ask our family doctor about that. And that's when he sent her for that calcium test. And it's just kind of it's a cheap test to let you know if there is potential problems, I guess you would call it. But I don't know what other test Tim had after that to tell him he had six blockages, unless it would have been an ultrasound shank.
Much. That's very reasonably priced to get an idea whether you need to move on. But I hate to hear that about your sister. But, I guess we all make choices, and some people don't want to change what they're doing.
I'm quit smoking. He tried. I said, why do you keep on smoking that stuff, Tim? There's 200 known carcinogenic bad things in it. I mean, everything from arsenic on down. And he says, it makes me feel good. I like it. And I think that's what it was with Dad. And, people got to make choices in life, and that's their choice. Oh, I'm sitting there looking at, how they throw up Windows pages and whenever you log on, looking at two llamas. And that reminds me of a guy down in South America. I think it's Peru. And he's always on there with pictures of llamas on there. I haven't worked too many rare places lately, just fooling around, having fun, and shame. I worked at the expedition in Namibia, and a fellow I've worked many times in Madagascar's been on lately. And all that de-expedition to Burkina Faso in Africa. And then just for the fun of it, I worked the 76 years of Air Force Mars. Just any old thing. And I talked to a fellow in Paraguay. And not a whole lot, just a few each evening. And I have fun with it.
N4, almost gave you a call. N4, is that okay? Yeah. I sent off for that Chatham Island QSL card, the one where you just, was it PayPal, $3 or $3, £3. I sent off for that, so I'm looking forward to getting that one.
And I thought I had one. I went through after we talked to him, and I was going to take a picture of it and send it to you. And I found out I didn't have it. But, I think one of the prettiest cards I got is from Bora Bora. But those South Pacific Islands, I'll never forget walking up in the cockpit and looking down and seeing Midway. I thought, oh my God, we're going to land on that thing? It's about like a carrier deck, only much longer. I think it was 5,000 foot runway. But it was beautiful. The waters out there are just turquoise and beautiful. But when I used to send off the cards, I got books of them, and I haven't done that in several years. But I sent off for that one also.
How high the plane you were flying on, how high they flew, but I'm gonna guess at least 15,000 feet maybe, or maybe higher, but I guess Midway would look kind of small from up there.
What altitude we're at, but I had been sitting at the radar station, but I knew there wasn't nothing out there, and they didn't tell us a lot about, where you was going to go and this and that at times, and we were just stopping there for fuel, and Wake Island was the same way, because there was a typhoon out there, we had to stop at Wake also, and then fly on to the Philippines. But our service ceiling was, 34,000, but very rarely did they fly over 24. But at that time we were coming in, I didn't see it on the radar because I didn't have the radar scope aimed down, and we were high. But normally we flew 100 feet in the daytime, 300 feet at night. Civilian planes don't fly down there, Shane. But when you're in a submarine, you do. And I swear there's been times on that carrier plane when I've seen water vapor coming off of the propellers. Those guys would get pretty macho about it when you were chasing submarines. But we was up pretty good heights when we come in. But it was like a 5,000-foot runway, if I remember rightly, right along the beach. And if you'll notice, a lot of airports, when they take off, they around the coast, they take off right over the water. It's a lot softer than the ground.
Go back down?
Yes, I'd a lot rather ditch on water than I would with the ground. And I can always swim very well, so water didn't frighten me. It was just getting it down in one piece and getting it out of Dodge real quickly.
Water, even at speed, is hard. I mean, I've jumped out of a moving boat, and it wasn't even going that fast. And you can still get hurt, so I can imagine, even though, you're right, it is softer, it could still do some damage.
One night we was flying Shadow, and we was VS-33, and we was flying Shadow at 5,000 feet over another squadron that was being sent up signals that simulate submarines for practice. And they were down low, which would have been minimums, would have been 300 feet. And I heard them, I didn't hear them crash into the water, or I heard a noise, but then I heard we carried practice depth charges, and we would bomb those buoys in a system that was explosive echo ranging like they do for oil fields. And I had a chart recorder in front of me and a jazz recorder below that listened to those sonobuoys. And I started hearing those Papa Delta Charlie's PDCs going off, and they were at 600 feet is where they were set at that time. And so I knew unfortunately they'd gone into the water, and there were just four people on the carrier plane, and the front end broke off, and they never ever found the pilot and co-pilot, but it ejected the crew members, the two enlisted guys, like where I was sitting. And a submarine picked him up. One of them was really, really bad. His leg, he almost lost it. And they still don't know how they got to the life raft, but at any rate, the front end of the plane just broke off, so they had no chance to get out. And all they had was two little escape hatches above their head. We had a hatch behind us, but you had to unstrap and waddle yourself between the electronics to get out. And so ditching wasn't a great idea. But your parachute was, you were sitting on it in that plane. And you could parachute if you was above 1,200 feet.
4Z, okay. Wow, that's a sad story. I know it happens a lot. But anybody who put themselves in those situations, I got a lot of respect for them. Because like you were just describing, there's not a lot of wiggle room in there if something, if you got to get out quick.
Pilot and co-pilot couldn't get out unless I moved to Julie, it was a panel that stuck out into the passageway up to the cockpit. It had to be folded back for them to even get out. And, it was 6 inches wide, maybe 2 foot tall, and every buoy had a channel on it, and that had to be put to the side, and then they could even come out the back if they needed to. But you could get out of it pretty quick. We had a fire in the wing one day, and when we landed, I assure you, we got out pretty quick. It was out in the engine compartment, and one of the stacks on the reciprocating engine had blowed off. If you ever flew in a reciprocating engine at night, there's a big flame that blue and orange flame that comes out of those engines, and it broke off and fell down into the engine nacelle, and the thing Captain Beck said to Rouse, he says, is this an electrician? He didn't say it exactly like this, an electrician foul up, or should I take it seriously? I said, them slumber couples, sir. I said, you better take them seriously. And he says, emergency, emergency, emergency. Get me the hell down from here. And I never seen a guy get down on that flight deck so quick.
Okay, well, most people will move when they've got the proper motivation. And that kind of strikes me as pretty proper motivation. Tom, I've enjoyed it. I'm pulling into my next stop here. Always enjoy talking to you. Hope you and Miss Bernice have a good day until I'm sure we'll probably talk again soon. N0TR, N4ZLK.
Well, I was new on the carrier and that. There's a plane landing about every 40 seconds, and he was taxiing up behind us. I was so frightened I dang near walked into that propeller, but that guy didn't know it. But I seen it in time, thank God, or I'd have been hamburger. Anyways, take care, Shane. Have a good day. N4ZLK, N0TR73.